Margaret Hood has her birthday today. Happy birthday, Margaret. Sweet 16. And Pat had her birthday on Tuesday. She was a young 95, just coming back from a 30-day cruise on her own. Holy moly. You have good genes, my dear. You are blessed. You are right. Sandra Goodwin received the Prince Charles, the King Charles Award for volunteering 25 years, 55 years with the Special Olympics that she's been doing that. There are amazing people in this church. What a blessing. What a blessing. Your word is a lamp for our feet, Lord, and a light for our path. And when you speak again today, what a beautiful, beautiful word. Reminding us how you are always looking for us. Even when sometimes we kind of get a little lost. But you do not call us lost cases or cold cases and walk away. You're always seeking, always loving, always caring. Remind us of that as we walk through this word, please. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ted, I'm going to make you work hard today. It's one of those things. I'm going to read little bits and then stop, but you'll keep up, I know. You've been doing it long enough. Going to go to John chapter 21, and if Alexander was here, he would have said, yeah, you've said that this is one that has to be read at your funeral, because it is. It's one of my most favorite passages in the world. Maybe because I can relate to it so well. Read with me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. So can I just set the scene for you? So Jesus was crucified, died, buried, raised from the dead. Then he appeared to the disciples in the upper room where they got this fright of their life as he walked through the door. Then he appeared to them a second time. It was actually to Thomas, because Thomas was the guy who said, if I don't touch and feel, I'm not going to believe. So Jesus appeared. So done it twice. Now, this is the third time, and you'll see he's going to say that a little bit later. So just to set the scene, this is after Jesus was raised from the dead. He's appeared to them. He came and gone, came and gone. Now they're at the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. So this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin. Actually, it says Thomas, who's also called Didymus. Thomas is Aramaic, it means twin. Didymus is Greek, it means twin. So it wasn't his nickname, it was called Thomas, which means the twin. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that was James and John, and two other disciples. So can I stop the story there again? Can you remember last week was the setup for today, Luke chapter 5. Where were they? Jesus was preaching. They were out on the shore cleaning their nets. Jesus said to Peter, I need your boat. I need to preach. They're in the boat. They sail out. After the sermon, Jesus says, get out to the deep sea. Let's go fish. Peter says, Captain, you know, keep to the preaching stuff. We catch fish at night. And last night we tried catching fish. We didn't catch a single fish. And then Jesus says, well, let's give it a try. And they tried and they caught, put the nets out on the side, and they caught so many fish, the nets were full. When that was done, Jesus said to them, so I got a new job for you. You're not going to be fishing anymore. You're going to now go out looking for people, and you're going to fish for people. Okay, so that's where we found them. Now we find them back at the Sea of Galilee. He's setting the story up for us. So they were all there. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Question. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Thank you, Don. What did Jesus say to them? Get out of the boats. Get with me. You're not going to be fishing for fish anymore. You're going to go be fishing for people. Peter says, well, Jesus is gone. So let's get back to the old lifestyle. Let's go fish. Well, we'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but. There's your big biblical but. But they caught nothing all night. Don't forget Luke chapter 5. We were out on the boats all night. We didn't catch a thing. Oh, let's go to the deep sea and catch. But now you're leaving the nets behind. They go back to their old lifestyle. They get in the boats. We're going to go catch fish. And they don't catch a single fish. Oh, John, he's a good guy. He knows how to write it. Now, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but, there's your but, the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, now, forgive me, George said the other day, Aubrey, go translate the Bible for us. This is really a horrible translation in all of the translations, and then I don't know why. The Greek word that he uses here is the word paidon. Do you know the word pediatrics? What's that about? Kids. Comes from the word paidon. There's a bad word in our language. Pedophilia. The love of little kids. Paidon. Phileo. Love. He uses the Greek word here. Paidon. Hey, my little boys. Don't miss the moment. We miss the moment when we mistranslate it. Jesus is standing there. His boys that he was teaching for 3 years, who lost the plot, who are back doing what they shouldn't be doing, they are, actually the word paidon means unsupervised young kids. Do you get the play? When I get so angry when they don't translate the stuff properly. Hey, boys! Did you catch something? They should have immediately recognized who in the world is talking to them. So, buddies, you're unsupervised out on the lake. Did you catch? No, they replied. Then Jesus said, so throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. Did it remind you of something? Last week? So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple that Jesus loved, which is the way that John speaks of himself, then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, that outer garment, for it's stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. Can we stop the video there again? Why? Why does Peter jump out of the boat and make a beeline to get to Jesus instead of just waiting with the others? They were only going to see it in the second 100 yards away. Why is Peter in such a hurry to get out that boat and get to Jesus before the other disciples? So you should always ask the questions. Can I take you for a little walk through the life of a man called Peter? Matthew chapter 16, after Jesus had called them from the Sea of Galilee, they go up north to the most northern part of Israel to a place called Caesarea Philippi, also known as Panias, because there was this big temple for the god Pan, and with that they also had these other little gods, all statues for them. As they walk through that, Jesus asks the question. So as we walk through all of these gods, who do the people say I am? Oh, say the disciples, some say you are John the Baptizer. Some say you are the Elijah that would come. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Oh, so who do you say I am? Verse 16 of Matthew 16. Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Wow, says Jesus. Amazing. That's God that tells you that. Wonderful. You're the rock on which I will build my church. From now on, you will not be called Simon, but you will be called Petra, which means rock. Four verses from there, Jesus tells them, so I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and there they're going to kill me. I have to die. Peter takes him aside. Come here, Jesus. Listen, he says. Don't you be talking that kind of nonsense, okay? You got to stay here. You got work to do. Can you remember what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan, for you do not think of the things of God, but only of yourself. Ouch. From, wow, you to the rock, to Mark chapter 14, in the upper room, night before Jesus dies. Sitting there, Jesus said to them, all of you are going to be like sheep that scattered because they've taken the shepherd away, and you will leave me and I'll be all on my own. Peter says, yes, Peter. Lord, if all of them do that, I will never do that. Jesus says, Peter, take it slow. Before the rooster crows tonight, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said vehemently, I will never do that. Right? You know the story. Wasn't too long after that, they go into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has to come back. He asked them to pray. Peter, the one who says, I'll never leave you, I'll never mess up. He's snoring with the others. Jesus says, could you not even stay awake? And not too long after that, they come and take him. And Peter runs after. They get to the courts of the high priest. And Peter stands there. And Jesus is there. And then this little girl comes and she says, you were one of his disciples. I recognize you. Can you remember what he said? I have no idea what you're talking about. Leave me alone. Someone else comes. He says, you were with him. I know. Peter says, I don't belong to him. I know nothing about this. And the third time they come and they say, but you were. And if you go read the Bible, it says Peter used big words that you would not use in church. Saying, I do not know who you are talking about. And the next thing the rooster says, cock-a-doodle-doo. He failed so miserably. Over and over. But Peter had a plan for all of these failures. Peter, there was an old song. Was it Paul Anka who sang that? Breaking up is hard to do. But instead of breaking up, we should be making up. And I think Peter was always trying to make up. So let me show you how he does this. After that mess with the get behind me, Satan, what does Peter do? They go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And what does Peter do? He says, Jesus, I have such a cool plan. Let me build three huts, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. You can stay on the mountain, and all will be cool with us. Oh my goodness, that foot and mouth disease. After the mess in the garden, where he couldn't stay awake, when he gets up and he sees all these people, what is his way of trying to make up? Can you remember? Grabs out that sword, and the first poor old guy that's close, he cuts off his ear. Because he's going to protect Jesus. I'm going to be there. I'm going to make up for the mistake that I was sleeping. I have to. Poor Jesus has to, in that moment, still fix an ear. In that moment. And then that moment, when he stands in there, and instead of saying, I know Jesus, he denies him. That one he couldn't make up. Because before he could say a word, Jesus goes to a cross and he dies on the cross. And Peter never gets a chance to say, you told me, and I mess up. How do I make up? Doesn't happen. Put the nets out on the right side of the boat. And when they put that out, the nets nearly wanted to tear. And then John said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard it was the Lord, he grabbed his garment, jumped in the water, and made a beeline to get to Jesus. Why? Do you think maybe Peter needed a moment alone to say, Jesus, you told me so. And I messed up. I'm sorry. Doesn't get a chance. He doesn't get a chance to do that. You'll see how he tries to work it in a second. The other stayed with the boat, pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. And who's going to make up? Peter. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Can you see him? Before the others can go, he has to show, Jesus, I'm still there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to... Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time, I told you the other two, that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Jesus is quiet through all of this. All he says is, let's eat. Let's have some breakfast. Nothing. Nothing. Doesn't respond. After the breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Mark chapter 14, you will all leave me and go away. Excuse me, Jesus, they'll all leave you. I will never do that. Simon, son of John, now is the moment to ask yourself, do you really love me more than these others? Are you really better than your brothers and your sisters? Or are you just like one of them, one who needs me? Do you love me more than them? Now's the time. Now's the time. Have a look. Don't we sometimes do that? Look at our brothers and sisters and I think, I'm so good, but look at them. Or are we just all children of a loving God? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Nothing more. This guy who always has something to say right now has nothing to say. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Now, look at the words. Don't miss them. Feed my lambs. He says, so there's the little ones. I'm going to give them to you. They're yours. So you feed them, grow them, make sure that they grow up. And I think Peter said, holy mackerel, I made it through this one. Thank you. Not knowing, Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Did you see the more than those is now chopped off? Now it's between you and me, Peter. Do you really love me? Do you love me in such a way that you will listen? Do you love me in such a way that you will walk with me? Do you love me, Peter, knowing that? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. That's it. Okay, then take care of my sheep. Did you see there's a different word? This was not feed. Take care means it's not yours. You're the hireling. So there's the sheep, but they're not yours. You can just take care of them for me. A third time, Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Changes the word in the Greek. In the Greek, the first time he says, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, I phileo you. Do you agape me? Yes, I phileo you. In the third one, he says, do you phileo me? So agape is that godly love that is giving, that is all-encompassing. Phileo is the way that we love each other. Just, I love you, phileo, I love you, like a friend. He says, do you love me? The third time he says, Peter, do you phileo me? And then Peter says to Jesus, I was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Boom. Peter, are you really my friend? And then Peter breaks it down and realizes it's not about making up, it's about growing up. Lord, you know everything. You know that this old Peter thought that Peter's hands and Peter's feet and Peter's loud mouth could do it all. And every time I thought it was me, I just messed it up for everyone and everything. But Lord, the one thing that I do know and that you know is that I really, really love you. I'm so sorry. See what Jesus did? This is not about Jesus pointing fingers. This is not about Jesus opening wounds. This is about Jesus following us when we mess up, not letting us go and leaving us to our own hands and feet. Jesus coming and saying, Aubrey, do you think you should be catching fish? Do you think you can do it on your own? Come walk with me. What does Jesus say after that? And then he said to him, then feed my sheep. Feed the lambs, take care of the sheep, and now I'll give you the sheep. They're yours. So go do what I asked you to do. See, that's how the Lord works with us. He doesn't turn his back on Peter. He doesn't kick him out. He goes looking for him. And when he gets him, he picks him up and he loves him. And he walks with him and he restores him. Three times he said, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. Three times he says, I love you, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I love you. Then follow me, said Jesus. Stop the fishing and go do what I said you should do. And he did. And he did until the day that he would die as a martyr for Jesus. Maybe because of this amazing moment where you realized, despite the fact that I mess up, he loves me. Despite the fact that I walk away, he looks for me. Despite the fact that I think I can do it on my own and I often fail, he does not. Who makes the sun to shine? Who brings the clouds? Jesus does. Who calls me to be his child? Jesus does. Who follows me when I mess up? Jesus does. Who loves you and me unconditionally? Jesus does. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you for your seeking love, Lord. It starts in the garden. When Adam and Eve go hide, you go seek. And you restore. And all along as we do that, you come looking for us. Thank you for that. Thank you for that love that is unconditional, that holds us to your heart. Thank you that we may love you. It might be incomplete, but you have us all, Lord, and we give it to you. We belong to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our privilege to thank the Lord as we give of our gifts.